It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you?
Hey, Kelly. Good to be with you.
You too. And how does it feel to have a new Prime Minister, kind of?
He's been hanging around politics for about 40 years, so not exactly new. But can I say congratulations to Jacinda Ardern. I think it's great that she's got a healthy little girl, and I wish her the best of luck. I've got two kids myself. It's an amazing experience, and it'll be wonderful for her.
Oh, lovely. Oh, well, maybe if she's listening, Jacinda.
I'm sure the Prime Minister listens to BFM.
I reckon she does. She chats to us, so she probably listens. we wish her the best as well. So obviously you had a little bit of a longer night at work on Wednesday night, didn't you? You and Chris Hipkins were in the house for a little bit longer.
We had a bit of a spa in the house, yes. Look, essentially, we've talked about this lots of times, Kelly. We oppose the regional fuel tax for a range of reasons. We don't think it's necessary, and we don't think the government should be doing it. An important role of the opposition in a democracy is to hold the government to account, and it's also to ensure that there's quality debate in a way in which highlights the flaws of legislation or proposes alternative mechanisms. And so we were doing that quite vigorously in the parliament, and we had a lot of our MPs getting up, speaking and explaining on behalf of their constituents why they don't think the regional fuel tax is necessary. So the challenge that came from Chris Hipkins is they were concerned the bill wouldn't pass because we were putting up such a strong defence on behalf of our constituents. And so he did something which is quite unusual, and he put the House into urgency without signalling it, without telling anyone beforehand, in the middle of the night when all the journalists had gone home, and he did that to try and speed things up.
But you, I mean, National's done that before, haven't they? That part of it's not too unusual.
Yeah. The very extraordinary part of it was he also moved a motion which the effect of it would have been to have stopped any further debate in the Parliament, and that would have effectively gagged members of Parliament from speaking on behalf of their constituents. We think that was appalling. We think it was government overreach using a slim majority in the Parliament to try and shut down any further speeches opposed to their law. I'm surprised the Green Party were willing to do it. Fortunately, Chris Hipkins had a change of heart come the morning, and he abandoned those plans. But still, we're standing up on behalf of our constituents opposed to the regional fuel tax law.
Okay, let's just go back a little bit for people that maybe don't know what happened in terms of the bill that they're passing, because something changed where there's the potential that it could be rolled out across New Zealand, not just in Auckland. Is that right?
That's right. Well, nothing really changed in that Labor have broken their promise, but it's been there for a long time in that law, where they're proposing in the bill to have mechanisms for other councils to have regional fuel taxes too. They didn't tell people before the election that that was the case. They sold it as an Auckland regional fuel tax, but in that law, any other council in a few short years would be able to have a regional fuel tax. There'd be no further reference back to Parliament, no need to have consultation done by the Parliament. It would just be Phil Twyford by stroke of a pen. And so we highlighted that and are opposed to it. I understand that a news organisation has done an Official Information Act request and found that there's at least 14 other councils out there that want these fuel taxes. Mm. And we just don't think they're necessary and shouldn't be going ahead.
So, because obviously, this Official Information Act has shown that there has been councils that have already, you know, potentially shown support of it and reached out and said that they want to do the same thing. If National was, because obviously this wouldn't be able to happen until next term, if National was to get back into Parliament and into government in the next term, how would you, you know, be different from Labor in terms of putting on that tax for proposed infrastructure that these, you know, smaller councils are trying to make? How do you fund that in a way that's not a regional fuel tax?
We would repeal the regional fuel tax law. In Auckland specifically, Phil Goff said he'd deliver 3-6% savings. He has failed on that promise. If he just delivered 4% right within the middle of his band, they wouldn't need a regional fuel tax because that same amount of money would be available. I think with other councils around the country, there's the ability for the government as in a future National-led government, to step up more and put back the money that the, this new Labor government has taken out of the region. So they're taking about $5 billion out of roading infrastructure funding that would have gone to the regions around New Zealand. That money is going towards trams in Auckland. At the same time, they're putting up taxes for people around the rest of the country too. We have strong concerns about the trams. We don't think they have a strong economic argument. We'd prefer busways as a good quality form of public transport instead. And so the money that would otherwise be going to trams, we'd put back into the region so they wouldn't need to raise the regional fuel tax.
Going back to the argument perhaps that went on Wednesday night, kind of sifting through the bureaucracy of it, and we're looking at the fact that the bill was sent to a select committee and already debated for two whole days. Why do you think it needed to be debated for longer? And is that just prolonging something for longer than it needs to be?
When governments want to increase taxes, and that select committee process was shortened, they truncated that process. I realise we're getting into a bit of minutiae here, but governments can propose things, but in a House of Representatives, in a democracy, the representatives of people sitting in the opposition have the right to argue that things are wrong and that things should be delayed. Labor did that plenty of times themselves. We were doing our job in highlighting the flaws and issues. And it wasn't as if we were being frivolous. We had MPs standing up making quality arguments around different amendments that could be in place. For example, I had one around the cost of living because we're very concerned that the regional fuel tax will hit people the most that are in low socioeconomic circumstances, because we know they have the least fuel-efficient cars. We know that they have to travel typically further into work if you're living in the likes of South Auckland. They'll be hit the hardest. And so those were the types of amendments we were debating. Cost of living amendments, trying to stop price spreading, things that the government hasn't addressed themselves. And that's legitimate debate in a democracy that they wanted to shut down.
Moving on to foreign home buyers, the legislation that's been changed a little bit around what the foreign buyers can buy in terms of apartments and maybe not having to sell that a year after as they usually would have had to. Now they can keep it for a little bit longer. What is National's thoughts on this? Because I know that you weren't really in support of tightening the laws around that, but now Judith Collins has spoken out about the fact that it's just Labor showing that they're weakening on their promises. What are your thoughts around the changing of this legislation?
Well, there's a range of things Labor is doing or not doing that we are opposed to, but still holding them to account where they're breaking promises. They said there'd be a foreign buyer ban. We don't think it's actually necessary because when you look at the whole country, there's around about 3-4% of sales that go to persons living offshore. That's not a high number. And it was easy for them to make political arguments against or attacking foreigners and saying they were buying up all the houses. In fact, it was about 3%. We don't think a foreign buyer ban is necessary or would do anything. But they went into the election saying they'd do it. However, now they've come back saying, well, people from Singapore and Australia will be exempt. Oh, by the way, overseas investors are allowed to invest in new houses, particularly apartments. All of their rhetoric around overseas landlords owning homes and New Zealanders not being able to buy them is empty. And so if they're going to say one thing in an election, mislead people and do something different after the election, they deserve to be exposed. They should just abandon the foreign buyer ban completely because it's not necessary if only 3% of homes are being bought by people living offshore.
Right. So
we collect
so
good information now through the IRD numbers, and we know that it's very limited, the amount of houses going to people living offshore.
So disregarding completely the fact that they have weakened on their promises, do you think that changes in the ban and the sort of softening around the laws there is a good thing for New Zealand's, economic status?
Well, we were very concerned that if you had a foreign buyer ban, you're without actual much need for it, then you're putting up the signs to the rest of the world saying we're not open for business and sending quite negative signals to trading partners. So if there's a weakening in one sense, it could be good. But in another sense, if you have a very complex law with lots of loopholes in it where there's now greater complexity and it's harder to implement. That's probably not good lawmaking. It feels as though they had a goal to have a foreign buyer ban. It's now being unravelled, but they're just so ideologically driven to do this that they'll do it at any cost. And so a bad law, even if it's a weakening of a bad policy, doesn't mean it's a good thing to do.
We will leave that there, but thank you very much for joining us, Jamie Lee, and we'll chat to you again next week. Actually, I won't be here next week, so you'll be chatting to somebody else next week, but it'll be just as riveting, wow. I'm sure.
Is it a good holiday or is it an exam or something?
No, it's a good holiday. It's a holiday.
Okay.
All right, see
good
you later.
Luck. That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.